Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday Eve edition, the Pat Cipollone testimony. Eve edition.
All right, so I got some updates on the Pat Cipollone testimony. According to MSNBC, it will be recorded on video, and he will, in fact, be under oath.
Oh, good.
Yes. Which contradicts that earlier reporting from
Washington Post.
So
that said he would not be under oath, but it would be a crime to lie to Congress, so effectively that's the same as being under oath, but, you know, I'd still like to see him put his hand on the Bible, Dom. I know it would mean a little more.
Does that matter anymore, man?
I want to thank our most recent guest. He was a fine one, Dr. Louis Friedland. Got the whole name out there. Sorry, Louis. You know, I get a name right 9 times, and then, you know, the 10th time I'm going to screw it up, Dom. Even in the best case scenario, even in the best. So, you know, I've screwed up better names than yours, sir. No, I've screwed up everybody's name, quite frankly. Appreciate your patience with my misenunciations and the interview. And the New York Times piece, do we have a takeaway? I mean, right-wing talk radio, they've got snippets of these hosts all around the nation talking about effectively rigged elections.
Dems cheat. Democrats cheat. Democrat cheaters.
Democrat cheaters.
Yes. So that's what they do. I mean, that's the whole point, right? That's what propaganda is. And it's one thing to say, well, you know, we went to court, we lost the cases, or yeah, we don't like, you know, the ballot, you know, the drop boxes, but, you know, we lost that. You know, I can understand people's concerns, even if I don't agree with them, I get that. But to stand up and say that, well, this is cheating, or that is cheating, and you say it over and over and over and over again, and I think Lou put it right. They're just working the refs for the next election. We heard it from Trump. It's exactly what Trump did a year before he lost. He knew. And so he was planting the seed corn, Crudy. Some to the effect, like, if we sent out ballot applications and people got ballots and everyone did a mail-in ballot, Republicans would never win again. Well, why do you think that is? I mean, why is it? There's a reason why the Republicans and the MAGAs engage in and promote voter suppression activity, because they know the more people vote, the less likely it is for them to be elected.
You don't say, Dominic.
I do say.
You do say. You can always have your say here at 844-967-2789. I would remind our friends from the great state of Wisconsin. I know we play out here. Dan O'Donnell, who's a righty-whitey talk radio host. Some call him Clan. I call him Dan. Does the morning shift, both in Milwaukee and Madison. You know, we do the late afternoon shift. And Dan O'Donnell happened to be the star witness, the only invited witness to give testimony before the very esteemed, in their own opinion, Wisconsin Assembly Elections Committee. You know, and I believe it was chaired by Janelle Branchon.
I believe you are correct.
And that is the very same panel that apparently offers the subpoena weight behind the, you know, the ongoing investigation of the Michael Gableman, who's now thrice been told to retain the records. Stop burning the records. Stop deleting the records. You don't have the right to do that, sir. The contemptuous, corrupted former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman, there's some new reporting about him as well. Apparently, you know, when he was Justice Gableman, he had a whole different attitude about the open records than when he is actually Defendant Gableman.
Yeah, weird how that works.
It is truly weird how that works. But the only reason, you know, it's a combination of gerrymandering and right-wing talk radio. And way back in 2014, Dom, you know I've been paying attention since the get-go. This is my first love. This is my passion, talking to the people. It's town hall style around here. 844-967-2789. But a guy named Alec McGinnis, I believe, wrote a story about Scott Walker before Scott Walker ran for president. And we could all see him gearing up, man. You know, his re-election in 2014, as galling as that was just a prelude of what was to come. Because he immediately pivoted. His inauguration speech was a series of the word freedom said like 28 times over. Freedom, 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 freedom. We did a supercut. It was all freedom. And he had national donors in the audience, and he was immediately running for president, right?
Yes.
That's you know, the history we find ourselves. But this article was about the unelectable whiteness, as it called him, of Scott Walker, and said this guy's not uniquely qualified. He's not a successful chief executive. He's been propped up by the right-wing talk radio apparatus in the state of Wisconsin. And the guy's nothing but a legislative backbencher that got lifted by the right-wing talk radio apparatus, by the Bellings, by the Charlie Sykes. And now it's Dan O'Donnell. He's the new generation of righty white, right? Yeah. And now they not only, you know, they literally, this Gableman went running to right-wing talk radio. You know, when he doesn't get a successful ruling in the courts, he goes to right-wing talk radio. When the former governor of the state of Wisconsin, who was the target of the John Doe investigation, and you can say, well, you know, so what, everyone politically corrupts the process. It was Citizens United. No, but Scott Walker did so uniquely here in the state of Wisconsin. And he was the grandiose beneficiary of about $24 million in coordinated campaigning, third-party money that came through a third party and got conduited back to Scott Walker's campaign. Well, that was a triple-doubler. That was a Kobe Bryant special under state law. That could have been a $120 million fine. Don't set aside any criminal liability of the former governor.
Right.
But the guy who was liable for the $120 million potentially in civil fines, well, guess what? He's the guy that pushed Vicky McKenna outstate into multiple different markets. He's the guy that broke the gag order of the courts. Remember? Eric O'Keefe was out there shouting from the rooftops.
What was the name of the organization? Wisconsin Club for Growth? Was that the organization?
You better verify that. I don't want to be wrong. But O'Keefe was the particularly distasteful individual, and he bought himself access to the radio airwaves. That's my thought process. I've never been able to independently verify that through the corporate giant that is iHeartMedia, but I'm pretty sure that's how it happened. And there's plenty of financial incentive. If you could be on the receiving end of civil fines, I mean, I don't care how rich you are, $120 million in civil fines, right, that is a crippling blow. Well, far better to spend a couple million and expand the reach of a righty-whitey talk radio host and then go use her platform as often as you want to. It's beyond fun and profit. I mean, this is how you stay in front of criminal prosecution. So the right, they use theirs. The left,
yes,
less
Eric
so.
O'Keefe, confirming. Eric O'Keefe was or is, and this is a dated, but he was a director of the Wisconsin Club for Growth, to which you referenced. Now, didn't Scott Walker, he was coordinating, didn't he have like someone on the payroll, on his payroll, and who was also
Keith
on the payroll,
yeah,
on the payroll of another organization?
Yes, that basically he was the hub between the multiple operations that Scott Walker, and it was illegal at the time. And it might have been an administrative crime. You can say, oh, no big deal. And they blamed it on what, the tears of the Milwaukee County District Attorney. Well, it's Chisholm's wife's tears. That's the only inspiration of this. It's all political. And I pointed out 100 times, Dom, if this was all political, all Chisholm, the Milwaukee County DA, to this day, you know, Republicans continuously call for his resignation or Evers should remove him. But if he was truly a political sort, all he would have had to do is drop charges against Scott Walker during the recall, and Scott Walker would have been dead. As a politician, he would have lost, and whether or not he was ever convicted wouldn't have mattered. He could have polluted the voting pool effectively by seeking prosecution, whether it
kind
was
like what Comey did.
Kind of.
Well, wasn't one of the justifications for Citizens United being allowed to pass is that there could not be coordination, there had to be transparency, or there had to be a wall between these campaigns and these organizations. Wasn't that part of the deal?
Well, that's been so corrupted, of course, by the Wisconsin Supreme Court and the litigation, legislation signed into law by Scott Walker. First and foremost, you know, you talk about working the refs. Scott Walker got rid of the Government Accountability Board, which was not a partisan board. It was retired judges. And their greatest crime was to vote unanimously to investigate the campaign corruption of Scott Walker. So he got rid of the judges, you know, the referees. He got rid of the investigatory practice, the John Doe investigations. We don't have those in the state of Wisconsin anymore.
Not Why? The politicians?
Because he was the target of a John Doe investigation.
Can't have that.
So we don't have the John Doe investigations. And oh, yeah, the other thing, the very limiting, the campaign donations. Well, at the time, it was a $10,000 cap. And there were people writing checks for $150,000 because Scott Walker asked, only they weren't funneling it directly to his campaign.
Well, no, no.
They were giving it to these third-party tax-deductible 501c3s or whatever the case may be.
501c3s, yes.
Were not supposed to be political and certainly weren't supposed to be coordinating their political ideas and buying ads at the direction of Keith Gilkes, at the direction of Scott Walker.
You know, when you give money to a tax-free organization, that organization turns around, spends that money in coordination with, you know, the campaign that it's directed to, you know, spend the money on. Essentially, because they're not paying taxes on it, you know, the American people, we subsidize that. I mean, you know what I'm saying? We still
you
have
a tax break for corrupting the politicians.
That's what exactly. Isn't it, though? Isn't it?
And you know, above and beyond that, Dom, they doubled the contribution limits to individual candidates. So the governor could get $20,000. But more importantly, if you want to write a check to the party, corporate, otherwise, sweet, dark money, write it to the party. They can share it back with the candidate, and it's not coordination, and it's uncapped, and it's corrupting, and it's the law of the land here in the state of Wisconsin. And guess what? Ben Wickler, the Democratic Party, they're really good at it. Better than the Republicans. That's got to sting. Come back. More Devil's Advocates.
We are a party that believes that the way to measure success in government is by how many people are no longer dependent on the government.
Oh, it looks good on you, though.